The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, and we want to talk about that with you. If you got a fishing story, a crabbing story, if you got a hunting story, you got a question about hunting or fishing or guns or any of that kind of stuff, we'll be more than glad to talk about that with you and share knowledge about those things, and we'll go from there. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I believe we have a caller on the line, but did you read about the 9-year-old Canadian boy who was in the cabin and watched a black bear kill his mother while she was on the phone talking to her father? The 9-year-old saw the attack, the father heard the attack, and the mother is dead. She, her name was Stephanie Blaze. She was 44 years old. Said his daughter's son, Eli, witnessed the attack from inside the cabin. She called me to tell me that the water line hadn't been working and that her husband had fixed it. She then told her son, Eli, to run inside and grab an antenna. Hubert Esquerol told the station. He said he heard distorted, gurgling sounds over the phone, according to the station. He said, I stayed on the line for a few minutes before I hung up and tried calling again. The sounds were very disturbing. An attack crossed my mind, but attacks are one in a million. Esquerol said his daughter's husband, Curtis Blaze, called him back. He called me and told me that Stephanie had been attacked by a bear. The bear wouldn't let her go, so he shot the bear until it let her go. The husband administered CPR, but it was too late. Escarol said the bears have always been around, but never any trouble. We never leave any food around. We've never given them a reason to stay. There's never been any provoked bears or any that seemed angry. They would have always run off. He said a conservation officer told him the bear was unprovoked in the attack and that the bear wasn't hungry. It had a stomach full of blueberries. Said Stephanie would have been in the bear's sight, Escarol told the station. She had her back turned. She didn't see it. Curtis handled the situation extremely well. That's the 9-year-old. It could have been much worse. The children could have been near her at the time of the attack. What a tragedy. Got to remember that these animals, these black bears, are wild animals. They're not something to take your picture with, and they're not something to feed in the wild. All right. What's the caller's name again there, Chris?
Gary.
Gary. Gary from Dundalk. All right, let's talk.
I have a question on the September 1st rockfish in the bay.
About the first rockfish in the bay?
The rockfish on September 1st, the rules and what's going on and the open
season. Oh, it's the same rules as the summer season.
Okay.
Yeah, same rules. Come back in September 1st. That's right.
Alright.
Same rule. Yeah, there was a 2-week closure because, you know, that has traditionally been the hottest 2 weeks of the year. This year that didn't happen. We could probably have fished for rockfish. The 2 weeks before were horrible. But, you know, how can you make an educated guess a year out, you know, or 6 months out? You can't.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the same rules as the summer season comes back in.
So. Alright, thanks a lot.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye bye. 410. 922-6680 is our phone number. The answer to your question, John B., is not, no, not in Millersville, not yet. So, Here's an article that was written. I found this on WBOC. It was written out of New York, Calicoon, New York. A professional fishing guide spotted an invasive and hardy predator fish in the Delta. You can tell a fisher person unfamiliar with fishing, unfamiliar with fish, unfamiliar with nature, wrote this piece. Just listen. A professional fishing guide spotted an invasive and hardy predator fish in the Delaware River, which runs in part along the border between New York and Pennsylvania. The northern snakehead is an invasive species that is such an effective hunter it can threaten the populations of local species, the Times Union reported Tuesday. The fish, which has the nickname Frankenfish, can also survive out of water and occasionally will move overland, spreading to different bodies of water, the New York Department of Environmental Conservation said on its website. They are just voracious predators that have the potential to outcompete and displace other fish in the river and disrupt the river's food web, Don Hamilton, chief of resource management at the National Park Service's Upper Delaware section, told the newspaper. Fishers who see the fish, that could be fishermen or anglers, but fishers who see the fish, which can grow up to 3 feet, 0.9 meters, in length, are urged to report to the U.S. Park Service, and anyone who catches one should not return it to the water. The northern snakehead, a native to Asia, were originally introduced in the United States as a source of food, the newspaper reported, but the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service banned their import in 2002 because they were too successful in the wild. Northern snakehead are difficult to eradicate once they've established themselves. There are no dams on the Delaware River system, which runs from west of Albany out past Cape May, New Jersey, which means the movement of the species could occur unchecked. The fish spawns in calm waters, however, and the upper Delaware flows fairly swiftly, the newspaper reported. Wow. Scintillating. 410 WCBM 680. So there's snakeheads in the Delaware. If there's one, there's more. Chris? Hello,
yes,
Chris.
Sir. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I wouldn't leave you hanging.
Oh no, I know you. I know you wouldn't. So, what controversy do we need to talk about today to get, you know, to elicit some phone calls? Do we have any controversy out there?
I'm thinking.
Hmm. Here's a question. When you harvest an animal, a deer, let's say a deer, okay. A, do you process it yourself, or B, do you have someone process it? And I don't want a bunch of butchers and that kind of stuff named. But once you do, what is your favorite part of the animal that you harvest, the deer that you harvest? I mean, do you like the tenderloins? Do you like the steaks? Do you like the burger? Or don't you like any of it? Do you have it made into jerky? Do you have it made into sausage? Do you have it made into deer bologna? And what flavors do you like? Anything about that question? I think that's a good question. I'm looking at my Maryland black bear. I'm looking at the mouth of my Maryland black bear. And it wasn't a big bear. It was an average size female bear. But you know what? It was a Maryland bear. So the memory and the animals preserved and honored here in our great room in the back. And that animal was skinned and the meat was put into a cooler. Cooler was taken to a friend of mine who was had a local butcher shop, and he said, "Let me prepare your bear into bear bologna." And I said, "Okay, all right." So I had the whole thing made into bear bologna. You talk about something really, really good. Man, that bear bologna was something else. Robin even liked it. That's the amazing part. That is the amazing part, that Robin liked bear bologna. So that's a way to make the kind of lesser cuts go further, have your animal turned into bologna or sausage or something like that. Carol Sherrington, our wild cuisine writer for Hunt, Cook, Repeat, is for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly is she's got a recipe for venison breakfast sausage in the current issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. And I will tell you, it looks spectacular. I haven't tried it yet, but we will see. So there you go. That's the question. Hey, good morning, Captain Don. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Alan.
What's going on?
I picked up a copy of Maryland's Finest. I just picked it up at Clyde's.
Really?
Yeah. I had to go up there and get a couple rattle traps because even though they're hard to find, he had them up there. Gold rattle traps, and I've been doing pretty good with those, even though that's supposed to catch rockfish. They're still out there going after them.
Yep.
And so also had to get some copies of the MLC, Maryland Loves Crabs.
Maryland Loves Crabs,
I can't
find
any down my way.
Right.
So, and because that's a wonderful publication, too. Lots of pictures and great information. But I think I'm going to pick up another copy of this Maryland's Finest for a friend of ours, a mutual friend.
Good.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah.
But,
So did you have a chance to, page through the book a little bit?
Real quickly on the parking lot, I wanted to see. I was in printing for a little bit during my, as a part-time business, and I think the quality is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And the pictures are great, and I'm not a hunter, but all this talk on the show.
Yeah,
your show about it. I'm going to get into it a little bit more.
Good
with the guns and all that.
Yeah,
Clyde has.
I think you ought to. In your own little home workshop there, fashion a lance.
You know what? Mine would be more of a spear.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of a spear than a lance.
Yeah, because I can relate to that more so than lance. I feel like I should be putting on body armor or some kind of metal.
With a lance, yeah. But that's Maryland state sport. Jousting.
Yep.
Jousting is Maryland state sport.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
So what were you doing up in northeast Anarondale County?
I was making a quick trip and delivering some magazines to the Archery Pro Shop there, and some other places that I had to call on that day. And like I said, it was a quick trip. It started in Edgewater, and it rolled up into Glen Burnie and to Curtis Bay, and then I think I was done up in that area for the day. But moved on to some other places. I can't remember where I went at that point. Yesterday was a blur. It was started out in Bryan's Road. No, it started out in Glendale, then Bryan's Road, and then across country to Mechanicsville in St. Mary's County, and wound up finishing up the day in Leonardtown and coming home from there. Actually, I finished up the day in Prince Frederick. So it was a long day. It's been a long week, and it's been a long couple weeks since the magazine came out. And I don't always remember where I go the day after where I was the day before. But I know I wound up with a sore back from yesterday, and I don't know why. I drive a lot of miles, and I don't get a sore back. But boy, yesterday, for some reason, I got a little hitch there in the giddy up. So.
Well, that area is also called Orchard Beach. If you look at the that road right next to Macrotech, if you go up the road, the Orchard Beach Firehouse used to be there. So that community is Orchard Beach. They have access to the water, park, and all that. So, and I hear you struggle a little bit with how to characterize that location.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that everyone knows it's Anarondale County.
It's in Anarondale County. But, the zip code, I believe, is still Curtis Bay. But Curtis Bay, Brooklyn, Rivera Beach, it's right there. But Fort Smallwood Road is like, And when you go out Fort Smallwood Road and go straight across, it then becomes Sollers. What is it called? Sollers? Road, Sawyer's Point Road.
If you go up Fort Smallwood Road when you get to the city line and make that little turn,
yeah,
comes Hawkins Point Road.
Going the other way, going out, at, going towards Ritchie Highway.
That's if you actually go toward Fort Smallwood, and if you go straight, it becomes Edwin Rayner Boulevard. You didn't know that, did you?
I'm getting out of town, so I'm headed towards I'm headed towards Route 2. I'm trying to, you know, if I'm coming off Route 2, what's the road that goes past Lake Waterford? And if you keep coming past Lake Waterford, you come straight into that Fort Smallwood Road.
They're called Solly Road.
Solly Road, yeah, that's it. That's
Well, you can hit it from Marley Neck Boulevard,
right?
Which connects directly over to Route 2 Ritchie Highway.
Yep.
Yeah. So now that we drew the map of Northeast Adirondack County,
yes,
I was in Ocean City for several days this week, and we tried to do some fishing, but we didn't have much luck. But I was watching some of the anglers along the bay there, and they were bringing in sea robins, and they were bringing in black bass. Nothing really big as far as the bass is concerned, but
right.
It was just fun watching them fish. So.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah. So anyway,
Ocean City.
Back up that way.
I will give you a call when I have a few minutes to spare. Be glad to. Yep.
And get that boat out in about 10 minutes.
Oh, man. Don't tempt me.
Some big, big catfish. Some big blue catfish are hanging up there, too.
Ooh. All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Miss Robin, I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, she's...
And I think I picked, like I said, an extra book for that mutual fund. So.
You got it, man. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good one.
Uh-huh,
dog. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. That's our phone number here. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to have you engage and talk about anything you want to talk about. That's for sure. Fishing, hunting, great outdoors, guns, hunting season, you name it, we will be more than glad to talk about it. So Clyde Sports Shop is, we just talked about them. They have the record book, or maybe they don't by now, but we dropped some off there the other day. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the waterfowl season and the dove season coming up. Now, you don't need a 10-gauge shotgun for anything. You don't need a 10-gauge shotgun for doves, that's for sure. But if you'd like to have one for Canada geese, or maybe even in the light goose season for snow geese, a proven standard for auto loader performance is the Gold Light 10-gauge. It's a gas-operated auto loader with a 3.5-inch chamber. It's a DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak camo stock. Comes with three standard Invector choke tubes, and it's called the Gold Light 10-gauge. That's available. That's a Browning Gold Light 10-gauge. Then there's the Maxxis. Here's a nice shotgun right here, an autoloader shotgun that was built for waterfowl hunting. 3 and 3.5-inch chambers, the new power drive gas system. It reduces recoil. It's called the Maxxis, M-A-X-U-S. It's available in Mossy Oak camo. And I'll tell you, if you throw that thing up to your shoulder and you throw the A5 up to your shoulder, you're going to have to get both of them. Because they both feel so good. But no, make sure when you're looking for an auto loader, look at the Maxxis by Browning at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, I mentioned the X-Bolt before. I want to tell you about the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon. It comes in three different configurations. It comes in the Speed model, which is light and short. And, you know, easy to carry if you're hunting in Western Maryland or something like that and toting that thing around all day. If you're headed out west, you want to either look at the Long Range or the McMillan models. This gun is gorgeous. It comes in that arid urban camouflage with a DuraTouch finish, composite stock. The barrel is Cerakote finished. It's fluted. It's got a sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, a detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, an adjustable trigger, and it's a bolt action high powered rifle. Comes and select calibers. You know, like 6.5 Creedmoor and 308 and some of the other long-range characters for the calibers for the long-range models. So Clyde Sport Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting, all available. Gun repairs right there at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. They're open 7 days a week. Check them out for Browning Firearms. Now, Macrotech Archery. We just talked about it from Captain Dawn. Macrotech Archery is located in Curtis Bay, Revere Beach, that area right there in Anne Arundel County at 8043 Fort Smallwood Road. 8043 Fort Smallwood Road. That's our new location. Now, when I was there the other day, the UPS guy was there, and he was dropping off, I think there were four or five boxes of bows and two or three or four boxes of crossbows being delivered right at that moment when I was there. And Corey met him at the door. Corey's the top-notch bow technician that Len Marsh has working full-time. And Len Marsh himself, the owner, Maryland's and the country's most respected bow technicians and bow shop owners, beginners and diehard bow hunters and athletes and the well-connected, know about Len and Macrotech Archery's reputation for excellence. He's tuned my Bowtech bow for me. He made one little change on the way that the stabilizer was mounted, and bingo, I'm shooting dead nuts on. No question about it. And then he recabled my 10-point crossbow. He restrung it when it needed it. It's fine right now. But, you know, that's where I'm going to go if I need more service. Macrotech Archery Pro Shop carries Matthews, including the new VXR, the Mission bows and crossbows, the Bowtech Diamond and Hoyt. Crossbows include Raven and 10-point. They tune each bow and crossbow to perfection before it leaves the store, and it'll fit your unique draw length and poundage requirements. My draw length was too long, and Len adjusted my draw length. I went from 28 to 27.5. I had that capability, but I shot so much better. So there you go. All the accessories for your bow will be mounted correctly, and they have a full lineup of custom arrows and sights and rests and more. And if you ask, they can observe and correct any shooting issues you may have on the indoor range. Plus, Macrotech is a certified service center for 10-point, for Wicked Ridge, and for Horton crossbows. If you need service on your 10-point, your Wicked Ridge, or your Horton, that's the place to go for certified service. You should stop by the new Macrotech Archery Pro Shop, new location, for 8043 Fort Smallwood Road in Curtis Bay, Riviera Beach. Now open. Visit macrotecharchery.com or their Facebook page, and their phone number 410-789-7777. 789-7777. Macro knows bows. Now, if you're over on this side of the pond, if you come across the bridge and you're going to Ocean City, or, you know, you're going hunting down here on the shore, you're duck hunting, you're sick of deer hunting, something like that, headed to Dorchester County on 50, I got a little stop for you. Yep, it's called Bay Country Bakery. And when I'm headed to the beach or headed to Sick of Deer Camp or going fishing, I'm stopping at Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge. I'm getting a donut. Maple donut, maple frosted donut with slivered almonds on the top. Or I'm getting a scrapple egg sandwich, or both, and a cup of hot coffee. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge has the most delicious fresh baked donuts and pastries and cookies and cakes and breads, not only on the Eastern Shore, but the entire Delmarva Peninsula. Yo, verily, even Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware, and Pennsylvania, no one can compete with their flavors. And you can grab a breakfast sandwich, too, if you like. Right now, Bay Country Bakery is open they're open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. To find them, you look for the big donut on the side of the building. If you're headed east on 50 towards the beach, and you go through Cambridge, look on the right-hand side, and all of a sudden you're going to see this big giant donut pop up in your field of view. That's Bay Country Bakery. Pink frosted donut with sprinkles. 10-foot tall donut on the side of the building. That's all you got to do is look for that. That Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on 50 East. That's the street address for those of you who use GPS for everything, or Waze, or one of those other, you know, programs. Dave and Gina Levy are your host. Trained chefs strive to bring you the best, and they do. Visit their website, like their Facebook page. If you stop by, think Big Donut. Alan said Big Donut. I'm looking for a Big Donut on the side of the road. Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. You might see Robin and me there. Depends on what day. We'll be right back after this message from our buddy Chris Klaproth.
Well, what's left of Laura working across Baltimore? Hang on, today could be an active day with half-inch to one-inch rainfall totals and tropical downpours here. We're in the mid-80s this afternoon. Some of the storms could pack a punch with a severe weather threat for us. And then a much-improved Sunday forecast. Sunshine, a high of 84, low 67. More showers Monday, Tuesday, with highs in the upper 70s near 80 degrees and lows near 70. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay.
I was born and raised on the eastern shore, in the slower lower half where there's not much more than a whole lot of water and a small strip of land. Little towns like Princess Anne.
Princess Anne.
Cannon factories in the tomato fields. Crab pots stacked up around Chris Field. We know the harbor where the skipjack sails. That's right. I'm from Somerset County. I'm from Somerset County. Well, it didn't take long for me to figure it out. A lot of ways in, no way out. So I got a guitar. I joined a band.
Hey, Chris.
Hit the road and well.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Gotta cut that bad boy off because they say bad words in that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All righty.
Yeah.
We're all done. Let's go to Mark.
Mark, good morning. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. You know, I do a lot of reading in the Bible, and I learned a couple things. Number one, I learned that God doesn't want us to fly. You know how I figured that out?
Why doesn't God want us to fly?
He said, and lo, I'll be with you always.
I see. Okay.
And I also found out that it's a sin for women to make tea or coffee.
Oh?
Yeah, it says he brews.
Okay, Mark. Every week they get just a little worse. Just a little. Just a little.
They're dad jokes.
Hey.
Oh, they're dad jokes? Yeah, dad with a capital D, huh? Big daddy upstairs,
yeah,
right?
Big daddy jokes.
At least they're clean, right?
That's true. That's true.
Always keep them clean. And one more. okay?
All right.
I found out that the first baseball game was in the Bible.
Really?
Yeah, it says in the big inning.
Boy, I wish I had a rim shot sound effect.
I think you need the sound effect when somebody gets a zonk on Let's Make a Deal.
Or crickets.
Crickets would work. All right, Mark.
See you later. Bye.
See you, buddy. Bye. Okay, then. And
Pete and then
Pete.
Jay.
Pete and Jay. Okay, let's talk to Pete. Good morning, Pete.
Alan, I'm great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Catching any snakeheads?
Well, I've been chasing a couple of them and have caught some snakeheads. I just want you to know up front I can't top them jokes, so don't expect that much from me. I was calling because I want to get your opinion on the condition of the Chesapeake Bay, but I went down to one of the ponds in Delaware, and this first time in my life I ever got sick and tired of catching crappie.
Oh, no.
I was throwing spinners and jigs under the bridge there in this pond, and I knew there were fish there. Couldn't catch anything. So I took my rod and put an 8-ounce chartreuse jig head, those little jars of Gulp curly minnows.
Yeah.
Put one of those things on there, and within 40 minutes, I caught 25 crappie in the same place I couldn't catch anything in.
Wow.
So I went out, and I got tired of that, so I put my little 2-pound test micro-light rod, the bobber, and a worm, and went and caught some bluegills for a while, then went back. But I kept about 14 nice ones, but that's the best day I've had catching crappie in a long time. But I was calling about your opinion. We went out 2 days ago on a pretty big boat when the winds were 20 miles an hour and the Chesapeake chop was about 2 to 3 feet and had a terrible day.
I hate those days.
I don't want to get into that. But anyway, we trolled, but then we bottom fished and drifted in 4 different places just south of the Bay Bridge. Couldn't catch anything other than a couple very small blues and a couple small croakers. It just doesn't seem like, and we've been out there before, it just doesn't seem like, from talking to the old timers, there's the fish are there. What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's all about the dissolved oxygen in the bay. You got to find where the layer of oxygen is in the bay, and it's not necessarily going to be on the bottom. It could be mid depth or something like that. And it's, that's what you got to look for. You got to look for where the fish are. I mean, if a good depth finder will show you that thermocline line,
we were in 12 to 15 feet of water. So
okay.
I would have thought oxygen would have been okay. Would you?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on the algae bloom. It depends on the temperature. It depends on the dissolved oxygen. I mean, fish go from comfort zone to comfort zone. And if they're not comfortable where you're fishing, they're somewhere else. I mean, I've said this from the beginning of the show, 30 years ago. You can fish one place one day and do great, and the next day go to the exact same spot and do nothing. And the reason for that is fish swim. They're not going to stay where they're uncomfortable.
We covered a lot of ground. I just expected more, and some of the people just are saying the fish just aren't there. People that have lived on the Magathy River in the bay, and I didn't know if you felt like there weren't as many fish.
If you read the DNR fishing report every week, you're going to find where the fish are. And I don't know if you read that or not. But, they may not be in the traditional old places because something may have changed, whether it's, again, water temperature, oxygen. Those two things are the two things that make fish comfortable and uncomfortable. And there's could be, that there's no food there. There could be that the bait fish have moved on because they're not comfortable there in that particular spot. So
the white perch go after the bigger bait fish like menhaden and bay anchovies?
No. The white percher.
Yes.
No, they don't. I mean,
those are the fish I was talking about.
I got you. I understand it. Yeah. No, those are those kind of fish. They might eat some bay anchovies and things like that, but white percher, they're more like the small crustaceans and the little microorganisms and things like that. They feed more on that kind of stuff than, mayworms and all that. Everything eats that. But, you know, they'll eat some smaller fish. I mean, you can catch them on minnows and stuff. But if that, you know, again, it's the conditions. Yeah. It's the environmental conditions that are the best for the fish. And some fish adapt better to lower oxygen than others. And, you know, it's just because you drop something on the bottom in a spot where you think the fish might be doesn't mean that the fish are there. Now, I'm not trying to be smart about that or anything else, but, you know, you got to – there's an entire – Eyes on the Bay, there's an entire thing that you can read about water temperature, water depth, oxygen, everything. It's called Eyes on the Bay, and it changes daily. And if you go online or if you install that program, you will be amazed at some of the information that you can find. Yeah. It's a NOAA program, I believe.
I usually find a lot of fish around structure, piers, rocks,
oh, sure.
Stuff like that. I was at the mercy of somebody else, and he'd been fishing on the bay for his whole life, and he expected to have fish to us just run over fish and catch them. But we covered a big area, the mouth of the Severn. But I agree with you. You've been there, done that.
Well, your salinity is another big factor too. Look at all the rain we've had.
It's been a challenge.
Think about it.
But I know it's frustrating. And then you throw on top of it the wind. But you know what? You go out there and you just keep changing your tackle and having fun and enjoying it.
That's right. That's exactly right. So
better than living downtown.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Pete.
Love you, man. Thanks. Good show, Alan. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks. Take care. There he goes. Let's talk to Jay.
Good morning.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I was thinking last week sometime this summer when it was so hot, I was thinking about my childhood. I didn't seem to mind that heat back then. Don't even remember being hot. But anyway, I grew up in the Allegheny County, Cumberland, LaVale area.
Oh, yeah.
And in the hot summers, the tradition was we'd go fishing on Saturdays. My father would be off work, and you'd dig the worms. And you remember the old coffee cans that had the lid on Chase and Sanborn? I don't know if you're old enough to remember.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Anyway,
sure.
you'd dig the worms, fill the coffee can with dirt and worms, and he'd load me in the back seat of the Hudson, and we'd go pick up my uncle. And then that's where I want. The reason I called, I need to fill in a blank here. We'd head to places like Old Town and Pawpaw, and it was a place I remember that they always talked about, Batty Mixon's. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of Batty Mixon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we'd drive about an hour out of Cumberland, I guess, or maybe a little longer. But standing in the back of the Hudson, they didn't have car seats in those days for kids. But anyway, I'd be looking out the back window of the car, and there'd be these gigantic clouds of dust if it hadn't rained for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be driving these back roads and end up at some place called Batty Mixon's. Do you know where that would be?
Yes, I do. Batty Mixon's is near Old Town. It's lock 68 through 71, and at lock 71, a low concrete dam in the canal creates a 4-mile fishing area near Old Town.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because I thought if I'd ever get up that way, I want to try to find that again. Are those roads all paved over now?
Well, I'm sure they are, but go to riverexplorer.com. The Potomac River Guide talks about the Batty Mixon's fishing hole.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I don't know if you're online or not, but that's where it is. It's right outside of Old Town on the CNO.
Okay. Well, I'm not, but I have access to a friend. And one other thing, the memory that came back was there was a couple bridges. You'd go across these plank bridges, and the car would make every board rattle, and,
mm-hmm.
and I was always afraid they were going to fall in.
Yep, exactly.
And then we take a picnic lunch and have this. My father had a blue cooler. My uncle had a green one. It was a great big, like a porcelain cooler with a metal cover over it. And you had this big wide mouth lid that you'd pour the water into.
Yep.
Did those have a particular name?
Those thermos jugs, you mean? I'm not sure.
Thermos. Okay.
Probably a thermos, I would imagine. Yeah. Probably made by the thermos company.
Anyway, he was an avid fisherman, but I never developed the interest because I always got to watch and I never really did anything.
I gotcha.
Except get mosquito bites.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite activities when I was a kid, was getting the mosquito bites. I was I kept them off of everybody else because they liked me the best.
Yeah, so. That's the same here. He smoked, so the cigarette smoke kept them away from him, but
yeah,
they sure chewed me up.
No, that's because you're such a sweet person.
Right.
All right, man. Thanks for the call and the stroll down memory lane. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for helping me figure out where Batty Mixon's was.
And you got it, man. Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. I'll take one more caller before we take the final break of the day. What do you think? Anybody out there?
No, we don't have anybody. So
well, then I'll just do the commercials, and then we'll go on from there.
Uh-huh. And I'll give people time to call in.
Yeah, you like that? Okay. We can do that. We can talk about Albright's Gun Shop. You know, they want guns. Guns are wanted by Albright's Gun Shop. Guns wanted any make, model, age, or condition. Albright's Gun Shop in Easton wants guns. If you have a single gun to sell or an entire collection to consider, call Albright's Gun Shop. That phone number, 410-820-8811. I've been dealing with Larry Albright and the crew at Albright's Gun Shop for over 25 of their 37 years. I know these guys, and I wouldn't hesitate to call Albright's at 410-820-8811. If I had a gun to sell or to consign, you can trust them, period. Albright's Gun Shop is also a Cesar Guarini elite dealer. You can call or stop by Albright's to make an appointment to visit the Cesar Guarini factory in Dorchester County and select your firearm. This offer is for Siren and Fabarm firearms as well. Albright's carries Beretta, Benelli, and other firearms for every budget, both new and pre-owned. And now Albright's has expanded their muzzle-loading department with muzzle-loading firearms and accessories, as well as an in-house expert to expand your deer season. Stop by 36 East Dover Street in Easton, across from the Tidewater Inn, to visit this landmark gun shop. Online, it's AlbrightsGunShop.com, or call 410-820-8811 today for Albright's Gun Shop. Let me tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop. If you are into shotgun shooting sports, there's the 725 Satori Sporting Clays Firearms. Perfect blend of beauty and performance with five Invector DS choke tubes, a ported barrel, a triple trigger system, Vector Pro lengthened forcing cones, and it's now available in 20 gauge. The 725 field model is available also too as well. Then they've come out with, now they've come out with the Satori CXT. The Satori CXT. It's about two-thirds of the price of the Satori 725. It's kind of like the economy model of the Satori. Not inexpensive by any means, but this is the leading over and under for generations. All Satori shotguns feature chrome-plated chambers, triple trigger system, backboard technology, and Invector Plus choke tube system with the Satori CXT. Great field gun. If you like an over and under for bird shooting, dove shooting, for waterfowl, for upland birds, consider the Satori CXT. Then I'm going to switch back over to rifles here and talk about the BAR. Mark III, it's called the Hell's Canyon Speed. It's kind of an upgraded BAR. The burnt bronze Cerakote finish barrel, arid urban camo composite shim adjustable stock, an inflex recoil pad. The Hell's Canyon speed guns and gear are built to be durable and lightweight. The perfect tools for the serious hunters who need gear as lean and tough as they are. Large selection of calibers, including magnums and short magnum calibers, in the BAR semi-automatic rifle Mark III Hell's Canyon Speed. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, your full-line Browning dealer. 410-242-6108. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting are all available at Clyde Sports Shop. That number again, 410-242-6108. Your Browning hunting headquarters is Clyde Sports Shop. And that concludes our commercials for this hour. Correct, Chris?
That is correct. And let's move on. We've got Roger on the line.
Well, let's talk to Roger then. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Ellen. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Good. Sorry to hear about Robin. Wish her the best always.
I think she just texted us and said she's okay. She's just worn out. So.
Okay. I got a quick question for you. In Maryland.
Yes, sir.
If you're on your own property, you're standing on your own property, say you're not inside, say, whatever structure it is, a house, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing on your own property, and you're standing with a gun. Can
mm-hmm.
you be arrested in Maryland, arrested for standing on your own property with a gun displayed?
Hmm. That's kind of a trick question. I mean, what are you doing with a gun? Are you pointing it at people?
No. Let's just say that you have it like across your chest, like you would hold maybe, like you know how you put your hand across your heart. You just have it crossed like that, not pointed at anyone, but just.
That's going to be one of those. That's going to be one of those officers' discretions. I can't.
Okay.
I can't generally tell you yes or no on that one. I would think not, but, you know.
If you're creating a public nuisance.
Is that what it is, Chris?
I think, if memory serves me correctly, you're creating a public nuisance. You really can't do anything until they cross your threshold, and even then it's questionable.
I got it.
So like the Missouri, with the man and woman in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's an open carry state.
Mm-hmm. But they have been charged, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
However, that has been rescinded.
Okay.
Chris follows that a little closer. Yeah, the guy's an attorney, and his wife had a non-functional firearm. He was standing on his, they were inside their home, and 100 to 150 people, I guess, showed up, broke the gate into their community, and then threatened to kill them and burn their home.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember what happened next. The following week, the same group came back.
The man and woman apologized for what they were doing. The man and woman apologized for coming outside with a weapon?
No, I don't think they did. No, I don't think they apologized. They had no reason to apologize.
Nope.
But the same group came back a week later. And at that point, they were met with not only the husband and wife, they weren't armed anymore, but they had hired a security firm, and members of the police department and the sheriff's department were there on their property.
Oh.
There were about 15 law enforcement officers and private security people standing there awaiting this crowd to come who had threatened to kill them and burn their house down.
Beautiful.
And do harm to their dog.
And kill their dog and everything. Yeah.
And what makes matters worse is that gate that they knocked down was clearly marked no trespassing private property.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And they did not break the gate, and they did show back up. But they were met with armed resistance, law enforcement personnel were there, and the group backed off. Now, that after the first incidents when the guns were drawn, okay, this group went on past them because they were met with armed resistance. They went past them and went to the mayor's house and created all kinds of havoc on her. Fireworks and everything else at her house, and
sure,
you know, made threats and I don't know, they just really made a mess of the place.
I know in Chicago they had threatened the mayor Lightfoot, I think.
Yeah, Lori Lightfoot.
And I don't think they actually got to her property, but they were indicating they were going to.
Yeah,
and she was going to have security there.
Yeah, well, we're going.
Armed
we're going.
Security.
we're going far afield here, okay? We can certainly talk about, you know, the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. You can talk about the Castle Doctrine to protect your own lives and property with deadly force. But you started out with a hypothetical question that was difficult to answer.
Right, just standing out in your own property, not threatening anyone, not menacing, but
again, depends on the perceived threat and what law enforcement will do when they encounter you doing what you are doing.
I guess it would also depend on the Attorney General of the state and
I don't know what's going on with that. So
okay.
You know, right. And Maryland is certainly anti-gun with Brian Frosch as the Attorney General. You know, the main facilitator of Governor O'Malley's gun ban, gun grab, and so forth. So you don't have an Attorney General there who is very sympathetic to firearms owners and the Second Amendment.
So. Well, right. In the city, I mean, apparently the criminals can... there's a report typically here almost every week about a certain area, Wilkins in Brunswick. Man brandishing a gun. It's on the Citizens app.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this goes on here, and you never hear that this man or woman, in some case, is ever arrested.
I don't know on that one. So.
Right.
All right, man, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Roger, the best thing to do is consult a lawyer.
Yeah. Before you stand outside with brandishing a gun on your own property, get in touch with your lawyer and say, hey, look, I want to go out next Tuesday and stand on my porch at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with my gun across my chest. What's your opinion? So,
well, they do in Michigan, don't they?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. There's the music. We got to go. All right. As I said, there's the music. And Robin's not here. But I know what she'd tell you. She'd say be nice to you every...